Welcome back to the second hour of Gesundheit with Jacobus. Here again is your host, Jacobus Holloway.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to that second hour. I appreciate you tuning in today. Hopefully you enjoyed that little demonstration that my guest Kathleen Carlson just did on her harmonium, because it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to actually hear the instrument. And if you missed it, we'll probably play a little bit more as the show progresses. We are discussing with her Kirtan, which is singing together spiritual songs. In this case, these are songs that are, well, I would say primarily spiritual. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great.
You sing a lot of them in Sanskrit or in for India language, Buddha kind of talking
Eastern.
To Buddha, Eastern, there you go. Yeah, not like Eastern United States, but Eastern. It's a very interesting topic. And as I mentioned in the very first hour in my promo, I said some people may kind of raise an eyebrow. What's Jacobus doing now? Why are we not talking about health? Well, this has to do with health. This is spiritual health. This is the for you chanting mantras and bhajans and whatever we call these hymns has really pulled you out of a situations in your life where you ended up finding peace, and it kind of opened up the doors for you for what you're doing today. It has been you have truly found your passion, and you write about it in your book. Came out with a book recently. Where is it available? It's available in Barnes
and
Noble
and
Amazon. Okay, is it locally in local Barnes and Noble as well?
No, online.
Online. But it is called Vocal Medicine, Transformation Through Sound, an introduction to mantras, chanting, and kirtan. And KathleenCarlson.com is the website where you can read more about what she does. Carlson is spelled K-A-R-L-S-E-N. So Kathleen with a K, Kathleen Carlson, K-A-R-L-S-E-N.com. Just go and check that information. I hope you do. You'll learn more. She has a very interesting website, because not only does it tell something about herself, it explains more about the chanting, but also it shows a blog where she likes to write thoughts and feelings and insights that she has, and she is spontaneous about that and very open. I have to say, very nice, very well written. And there is beautiful pictures of your painting. That is, by the way, a whole other hobby, would you say? Is it really a job? Is it a profession that you
it
have?
It was a job from 2001 to 2008.
Okay.
And then when the economy crashed at that point, it was hard to sell art. So at that point, that was actually when I started doing more with multimedia and earning a living that way.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting back into actually promoting and, you know, looking for galleries to sell in, looking for ways to reproduce the art. So just really getting back.
Is it complicated, difficult? Is it difficult to promote it to people?
Well, in Montana, I would say.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, Montana, you know, when I have met with art consultants and interior designers, a lot of the art, a lot of what people are looking for that come to Montana that want to purchase original art is Western art. So my art is not Western art.
No, it's not, but it is very colorful and very beautiful. And it is, it's there. When I look at it, it just feels good. You know, it's not like jagged or in a way that you go repulsive or anything. Sometimes you see that. Your art is beautiful, very colorful, very happy. It looks happy to me.
You know, one of the things recently I was doing a painting, and this connects back to what you're saying about, you know, why are we talking about art and music, you know, on a show that's related to healing. And I had a very strange experience. Mm. Oftentimes when I do the art, what I usually do is I just take a moment before I start to paint. And I try to center. Sometimes I'll say a prayer. You know, I'm very fond of praying to angels. I really love the concept of angels. And so what I'm looking for is for something to come through that is uplifting, that is happy, you know. And so then I'll put down a layer of paint. It's usually very, very fluid paint. And then I might go back a day later, and there's another layer, and then another layer. And so there was a painting that I was developing, and I had a back problem. And as the painting developed, all of a sudden I realized, oh my gosh, this is a picture of a spine. You know, like it was a spine, except it wasn't straight. It was misaligned. And so, you know, it wasn't a serious back problem, but it was the kind of thing where just in normal life, it was no problem. But if I started weightlifting, doing yoga, then I could feel it. And it bothered me that it hadn't gone away. And it was like a year. So it occurred to me that this painting was of a spine, but it wasn't a healthy spine. So I'm not one of those artists that paints something and then gets upset, you know, and like, you know, destroys my paintings.
No.
So no. You know, like you hear about that, you know, classical yes. artists, and they like, you know, we wish that they hadn't destroyed those 300 paintings.
Yeah.
So I haven't been like that. I rarely discard a painting. But this one, I really thought about it and I thought, wow, this is a picture of my spine, but it's not aligned properly. And therefore, I don't want to put that image out, because what I want to put out for other people to see is something that will be harmonious, something that will uplift them. So then I decided, well, if this is an out picturing of what's going on with me physically, I don't want to have surgery. I don't, you know, I didn't even go and see a doctor. It wasn't that serious, but it was a hassle. So I decided, well, maybe what I could do is just do virtual surgery on my own spine and see what happens.
Yeah.
So I took the painting and I said it was a large painting. And so I set it in the room, and then I went in the kitchen. I got the sharpest knife I could find, like said a prayer, and decided, okay, well, I'm going to straighten out the spine on this painting. And so I literally cut it out, and then I realized, well, I couldn't really do this. It's a painting, you know, it was
sure.
dry, you
sure,
know, I
sure.
couldn't move it.
Yeah.
So I actually cut out and left, you know, there was beautiful colors blended in the background. So mm-hmm. I left all of that. And then as I was doing this, I thought, you know, I was just consciously, okay, I am removing from this symbolic representation of my spine what's going on in my back.
So.
And literally within, you know, it felt better. It was significantly better immediately. And 2 or 3 days later, it was gone, completely gone after an entire year. And to the point that I had forgotten about it. And then I found this painting that, you know, I had cut apart in the garage. I thought, oh my gosh, that's right. Like a year ago, I used to be having a back problem.
Huh.
So, you know, so you can use music. It's the same thing when you're chanting. You know,
that's an incredible story.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, amazing. Not incredible. It's an amazing story.
I am just grateful that I have absolutely.
And
no
I want to ask
problems
you. So,
now.
did you take the pieces out of the painting, or did you cut them out and align them?
Nope. No, I cut them completely out.
The ones that were
and
out.
Literally.
The ones that were off.
Literally. Yeah. Literally discarded that part of the painting. And of course, I can't salvage the painting because it was a large part of the painting. So the painting was destroyed.
Yeah.
But you know, it's the same thing when you're chanting. So, you know, we are always qualifying everything that is moving through us. So that's one of the beauties of if you go to a kirtan and, you know, there's, you know, however many people, 5, 10, 20, you know, people chanting in the room together, you know, each one is has the opportunity to qualify the sound and the energy that is moving through them in whatever way would be of greatest benefit for them. So it's a fascinating thing because it's an individual practice and yet it's a group practice at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, you're synchronizing with the other people there. You feel a connection. And it is very different. I mean, I could have just kept chanting in my car or kept chanting under the stairs, you know, with a harmonium at my house. But there is a very different experience when you're with other people. And there's, you know, a lot of scientific research now being done into the healing power and the impact on the physical body as well as the emotional and spiritual of a group practice like that.
Huh. Wow. 522-8255. 522-TALK is the number. Kathleen Carlson, my guest this morning. We are talking about her book, Vocal Medicine, Transformation Through Sound, An Introduction to Mantras, Chanting, and Kirtan. The book just came out this month, and you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on Barnes & Noble's website, whichever one you prefer. She is here today. There will be monthly kirtan sessions that you do. Now, the last one you did at Yoga Motion is when we were
yes.
there. Is that a regular set thing that you go to Yoga Motion, or people need to go to your website, KathleenCarlson.com or ShaktiBlissKirtan.com. And Shakti, let me spell it all to you. It's S-H-A-K-T-I, Bliss, B-L-I-T-S-S, and Kirtan, K-I-R-T-A-N, and you can .com, and then you can also find it on Facebook, right?
Yes.
And that's where you keep everything up to date,
right?
If there is another
keep
session going on.
Yes.
Because there's also people in Livingston who listen to the program who probably would like to know when you're coming back to Livingston, and you mentioned that
Autumn Equinox will be back there. I think it's September 21st, but it's Autumn Equinox.
That's a long time from now.
Yeah, you know, I have everything planned out for the year.
So, you do?
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I set up all of the major events for the year, all of the events where I'm asking, you know, multiple musicians to play with me. So, yes, so we have once a month at Yoga Motion Wellness Academy. So that will be April, May, and June.
So is that the first weekend of the month or the second weekend of the month?
It's the second Saturday, which varies a little. So, you know, somewhere between, in April, it'll be the 13th. I can't remember exactly what
that's
it
right,
is
because the 6th is the first one. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
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 13, and then, okay. You know, and then we do other events. There's one coming up this Thursday. So that would be April 4th. That's at Montana Lotus Center. So they are sponsoring.
Where's that at?
That is on 7th Street, right near Santa Fe Reds, the next block.
Oh,
in
okay.
Georgetown.
Okay.
So that one is 7 to 8 o'clock on Thursday. They are sponsoring that, so that is a free community event.
Wow.
That'll be about 15 minutes of an introduction that I'll give, and then about 45 minutes of chanting.
So, nice.
So, yeah. Different things going on, a lot going on.
And the whole band will come and show up, or just you?
That will be
you
tabla.
And Andrew.
So that will be Marius, Michael George, and my husband Andrew, and me. So it'll be the Shakti Bliss Trio. That
Shakti Bliss Trio. There you go. Almost sounds like a cocktail drink or something.
Yeah, you know, the Shakti. I have on my license plate.
Yeah, so
Shakti.
Shakti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when one of my teenage sons, when I first got that license plate, he read it and he said, shake it. He said, why does your license plate say shake it? But it, you know, it doesn't. It's spelled S-H-A-K-T-I. When my father saw it, he said the same thing. Why does your license plate say shake it?
That's right.
So it's
Isn't
an unusual
funny?
Word.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our mind, we just switch it to make it something familiar, like, you know,
yeah.
Shake it and bake it or something.
Yeah, shake and bake. That's right.
Yeah.
Because when I was going quickly through your songs, and I thought, why does she sing a song about gate?
Oh, gate.
Gate.
Gate. Gate, gate. Para gate. Exactly.
That's what we just played earlier.
Right.
Gate. Gate. Oh, gate. You know. Anyway, it's kind of funny. Just to introduce people to the idea of mantras, what are mantras?
So mantra is a worded formula. So, you know, a mantra, you can think of it like a tagline. It's like a spiritual tagline. So, you know, Nike is what, you know, just do it. So anything that you repeat constantly. So in marketing, they're trying to get everyone to know their tagline, know their logo, and to constantly, you know, it's something that is catchy in effect. So a mantra is a spiritual formula. So you can do a mantra that's related to peace or related to freedom. Some people will get specific mantras if they have a spiritual teacher, and the teacher determines that this is something that they need to heal in their psychology or their emotional world or a characteristic they need to develop, and they'll get a mantra related to that particular one. So when it gets down to the health level, in Sanskrit, there are different vowels. So Sanskrit is considered one of the original languages, which is a language where the sounds are closely connected to the actual vibration or the sound of that in the material universe. So, like onomatopoeia is like the word cuckoo, the word, you know, kush, squash, rush, you know, a word that sounds similar to the action or the thing that you're describing. So different syllables, for example, is a syllable that is opening for the heart. So on the physical level, it's good for the circulation, for the lungs, and for the heart. So a lot of words, namaha, for example, means I bow or I give honor to, and it has that repeated namaha. And then like Lalita is a goddess. So there are people who think that it's not just this Hindu religion or Hindu mythology or however you want to look at it, but actually the rishis, who were the Hindu sages, mm-hmm. who may have spent an entire lifetime meditating in a cave using mantras, determined that particular mantras would be for the hormonal system. Particular mantras might be for the nervous system or for the heart and circulation. So it's happening on many levels. You can also do mantras. There are Ayurvedic mantras that are specifically for different health issues. So you can do a mantra that's specifically for a health issue. So that's one way to use it. You know, another way is a devotion. So if you have like all of the pantheon of Hindu gods and goddesses, you know, I had the same thing growing up in the Catholic Church, you know, the pantheon of saints.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah. So if you have a favorite saint, and people might have a favorite god or a goddess, and one of the things about that is you can choose one who has characteristics that you want to develop yourself.
Okay.
So, you know, Hanuman is the monkey-faced god, a very unusual being in the Hindu pantheon. But he's very joyful, you know, very, very free. So a lot of the chants to Hanuman will be very melodic and very happy and very rhythmic. They, you know, people might get up and dance, you know, whereas other gods and goddesses would be for developing peace or Shiva.
Peace.
You know, or Shiva might be if there are things in your life that you would like to dissolve. You know, Shiva would be an energy for that. Hmm. So, you know, so it's happening on a lot of different levels. But that's a mantra. It's usually short, you know, maybe five words, you know, would be a mantra, and then you would repeat. And then there's also...
And then you can change timing and rhythm and everything. Mm-hmm. I want you to continue. We have a caller who would like to ask you a question.
Okay.
Good morning, caller. What's your name, please? How can we help you?
Yeah, this is David from Livingston. One of my favorite people is Kathleen.
Hi, David.
I worked on an art gallery, and her beautiful art was in it, and I have some in my home.
Oh, great.
I love kirtan. I love doing bhajans, and I had an experience a number of times more recently in recent years where when we really got into the kirtan, I started smelling this beautiful aroma that, you know, wasn't in the room before. And this happened in San Diego, and then it's happened in Livingston. And I'm wondering if you've had that experience, and if along with the healing tonalities, you know, good for different parts of our bodily systems, if you've studied anything regarding the aromas that can arise when we aromas. Are in that kind of blissful, shakti blissful state, where we're really kind of in alignment with our source and the beauty, as well as the harmony, and then the aroma that arises.
Yeah, no, that's really an excellent point. You know, that we had mentioned earlier in the show, trying to combine different, you know, combine art and music. And that's something else I've thought of is, you know, I actually just wrote an article yesterday on the aromas and the incense associated with different Hindu deities. I have not had the experience of actually smelling something that wasn't there before. But what I've looked at is, could we introduce, you know, diffusing an essential oil? Say you were going to have a kirtan that was all devoted to a particular goddess or you know, a particular purpose, that you would have an incense that was related to that would bring in, you know, another dimension.
Mm-hmm.
So the ones that I was researching for the article yesterday, frankincense, sandalwood, patchouli, neroli, rose, of course, is considered to be an essential oil with the very highest vibration. So yeah, it would be fantastic to be able to bring that element in and introduce that. You know, my experience has been the only things that I have experienced that were unusual is hearing other things happening during the chanting. For example, I had one experience where I was chanting with a small group of people. There were probably a total of maybe a dozen people in the room, maybe 14, and half a dozen musicians. But every time we started chanting, it sounded like there was a whole choir. And I kept opening my eyes and looking like, you know, like did a whole lot of people come into the room while I had my eyes closed, and yeah. I would open my eyes and it was the same number of people there. But it was like hearing that it felt like there were other beings who were chanting along with us on some other level. And I had a similar experience, as we mentioned earlier, my husband sometimes plays the recorder with us, so that's like a wooden flute. And sometimes we've had Letitia play a classical flute, and we had a classical flute player a year or so ago. But in this particular kirtan, I kept hearing a flute. You know, we were chanting, and I could hear this flute playing, this beautiful flute. And I kept opening my eyes and looking over at my husband, and he was playing his drum.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very strange. So when the kirtan was over, I talked to Marius, and I said, gosh, you know, I kept hearing a flute. And he looked at me, and he said, really? He wasn't playing the flute? Because I heard it too.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, there's something that goes on other levels, and bringing in incense, which is a very, you know, very powerful thing to bring in essential oils or incense. I think that would be a fantastic addition.
Huh. Interesting.
Can I just say one other thing?
Beautiful, David.
I'm still on. You're welcome to play in Livingston with us anytime you desire.
Thank you.
And we'll pay your group, your entire group. We love you guys. Look forward to seeing you in person.
All right, Greg, we'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you, David. Okay. All the best. Bye. All right. We are hitting another break here, folks, with Kathleen Carlson as we're talking about a Shakti Bliss Kirtan. And we're talking about her book called Vocal Medicine, Transformation Through Sound. Very interesting how music and rhythm and sound can create alignment of the energy centers in your body. We have a lot more to talk about that when we come back. Hopefully you stay tuned all the way. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
It's like changing diapers in your brain. This is Gesundheit with Jacobus.